Rolex wearing. Woo! Diamond ring wearing. Woo! Kiss stealing. Woo! Wheeling dealing. Woo! Limousine ride. Woo! Jet flying. Woo! Sucking on a gun. Woo! And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. They give me 2 claps and a Ric Flair. Woo!
Tim Livingston.
Emotional security is like the blanket that you tuck your soul in.
Pete Livingston.
You ready for Joe Buck to sex you up? That's what I think he's saying. He's like, hey, you're about to sleep with Joe Buck.
And Sim.
This is our candy orchestra.
Mm. It's still going. Those are some good pop rocks.
Los Livingston Brothers.
That is a good guesstimation and a good way to start Los Livingston Brothers. We are back to the normal repertoire that we have. It is 9:38 in the p.m. January 13th, 2016.
What the hell? I yawn and I burp?
At least you moved the microphone away from your face.
Yeah, that was... Because
that was juicy. Tim just did a very juicy burp.
Both ends right now, gentlemen. Both ends.
So this is the first time in...
5 months?
Probably since we did...
Oh, that one, yeah.
Since we did our show back at the studio that we've all had our own microphone, so...
My mic smells like a new car.
It's very... Like, these are spanking brand.
Yeah. We still need mic stands, which are coming.
Do you have the off-gassing, you know, specifications for these? Because is this dangerous?
Yeah, these are fresh. Is Rob going to get high, like, in 20 minutes? Like, is he going to lose brain cells by the end of this?
Oh, I'm cool. Yes. Okay. The answer is yes.
Yeah. But not like that.
I'm cool with that.
I mean the other way.
I was just curious if it was, like, cancerous. Brain cell loss and getting high, that's cool. I'm down. You guys know I'm down.
Well, you know what? Here's a good thing, Robin, is that by the time you actually develop the nose... cancer from smelling that microphone, we'll have it figured out by then.
Oh, but then that's like that's,
and you'll be cool.
But no, that's the stroke, right? You smell burnt toast, you're having a stroke.
Well, and another, you know, underlying thing is that I have the winning Powerball ticket in my wallet, so pretty much I can cure anything.
That's a lie,
you know. And speaking of Powerball,
I drove down to southern Los Angeles and Chino I bought Hills. It and I drove back up here
to Chino Hills.
We've been to Chino Hills.
We have.
We've driven through it, I should say.
Everybody knows that money cures everything.
It does.
So, nose.
Everything.
Nose, microphone, so, off-gassing cancer, yeah. Cured.
Done.
It's so great. Everybody's down there right now surrounding that place in Chino Hills or that dude or whoever bought the ticket. And they're like, it's like martial law situation. Like, there's someone who, like.
Or not.
Like, no, it's like. Everybody's down there because the person who's won it, like no joke, we can have, like, people, like, trying to get this guy, like, shoot this guy, try and take his ticket from him.
Do you think that happens?
Legit possibility.
It's in Chino Hills. One of the worst prisons in the United States is in Chino Hills.
Well,
how many times does Sublime sing about Chino in their albums?
Well, it's not like this guy that won... is in the
what if there's a prison breakout tonight, Chino?
Well, they'll probably just be thrilled to be out and won't go and try.
Guy just
and find this guy.
Randomly kills dude with the Powerball ticket, goes from being in prison to 500.
What if someone who is actually incarcerated won Powerball?
That would be incredible.
Like, it is legit possible.
Someone like slides in the Powerball ticket in a book or something like that as a bookmark.
Yeah.
They win it.
It's legit possible.
That is totally
I smell a movie idea.
In Chino. Yeah, Pete, write that script. We're doing that.
We called in Chino Man.
Yeah.
Doing it. Wow.
Wait, in Chino or is that in Encino? Encino Man or in Chino Man?
That was so good.
1.5, gentlemen.
1.6 it said 1. It went 6. Up to.
1.6.
So the take-home's just under $1 billion because they take 25% off the top for the IRS. So you lose
a quarter of that. So that's, you know.
So you go down to 1.2.
Then you have to pay state and federal taxes on it.
And so you actually go down to about $600 million when it's all said and done.
Probably, yeah.
So that ain't bad. That's not bad at
That's
all.
That's not too shabby.
California is actually one of the states that pays out the most for the Powerball.
Good.
It's like one of four.
I think.
Oregon is the highest. California is one, I think, second or third highest.
And you get a bonus if you're a rogue group taking over
government
right. buildings to give you a
If
bonus.
You've taken over a natural wildlife preserve in southeastern Oregon... You get $600 million worth of
Which is happening as we speak. Do you think any of them have, like, snuck away and left and, like, gone to McDonald's?
Oh, no, they totally have.
Okay.
No, there are people who have told, like, it's hilarious how, like, nobody cares about this. It's really hilarious. Like, they're...
Well, here's the thing. Some people say it's hilarious. Some people say it's scary because of the fact that it could just be a bunch of white guys, and if they weren't white, would it be... Would, like, the National Guard be there?
No, because the idea is that if it weren't white, quote-unquote, that they'd already shut up the place or whatever. Plus, let's be honest, I hate to say this, but this is more of a territorial thing than anything. It's like, are there really going to be anybody non-white trying to go take over a natural wildlife preserve just because it's a government?
In Oregon?
Yeah, in Oregon. No. No.
Probably not.
No. It's just a bunch of dumb... Rednecks.
So $600 million take home. We'll just say six and a half, just for the heck of it.
Yeah.
What would you do with six and a half?
$600 million?
$650 million.
Pay off all my debts, all my friends' debts. That'll take maybe a couple million, you know, by the time I'm done.
You really think that your friends have millions of dollars in
debt? No. But, like, the number of people I want to take care of that have meant a lot to me, yeah. I think, you know, school debt, you don't have to worry about you. You're set.
You definitely don't have $600 million worth of
friends. No, but, like, if you think about, like, mortgages on houses as debt,
Okay, we're up to, like, $2 million.
Student loans, oh, yeah, okay. All right, so maybe it's like maybe
student loans is like $10,000
But like I'd take care of your house. I'd take care of mom and dad's.
You'd be very disappointed if by the time you paid off everybody's debt, you'd be like, "Well, that was like $2 million." Damn it.
Yeah, right. No, but then what I do is I'd call Larry Ellison or I'd call Bob Iger, and I'd be like, "Hey, you want to go in and buy the 49ers?"
You couldn't.
Yeah, I could.
No, you could not.
Yeah, I could.
The 49ers are valued at like $1.5 billion.
Hence me calling in so I can have the person I call would have principal ownership.
Larry
I don't want a piece of that fucking pie.
You.
No, he doesn't.
Exactly. You're not getting in that conversation. Yeah. Come on.
Fuck that.
Plus, you don't know that.
I do.
You never know.
I do actually.
Robin's tried it. Larry.
I do. It's
Robin again.
No, but I'd design.
I could just buy
the Raiders straight up.
You would probably.
I could buy the Raiders straight up.
Actually, you couldn't.
They're like, done.
Nonetheless, that would not happen.
There are probably quite a few sports franchises.
I talked to some people.
Do you guys want to know exactly what the lottery winner should do? I can tell you exactly what.
Oh, yeah, Robin has actually.
Researched it.
Yeah, Robin's prepared.
Like 10 years ago.
I'm guessing there's T-bonds and there's.
Yeah, well, hang on. I want to hear what you would do. So you would go buy a sports franchise.
In one of the big three sports,
you could probably buy. I guarantee you.
I don't
want to
buy the San Jose Earthquakes.
Well, I meant a major sport.
Ooh,
basketball, baseball.
Maybe I put in a baseball stadium for a minor league team in Sonoma County again so we can have the Crushers back.
Why not the Stompers?
Or the Stompers back, whatever you want to call them.
Are you going to buy the Stompers?
Yeah. Galata, sell it to me. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Okay.
So what would you do?
Quick question, you guys. What do you think the percentage of multi-million dollar lottery winners filing bankruptcy is?
85%.
No, it's not that high. Come on.
Okay.
I'd probably say about 40.
It's 36.
No, I know.
So, what do you
two-thirds.
Think, what do you think the likelihood versus the regular public of being convicted of a felony is?
Ooh. High. Very
Wait
high.
Wait a minute. Time out.
With this, I'll say...
Explain that question again.
The likelihood versus the regular public. So, like, two times, oh, three
a person
times,
who
four
wins
times.
A lottery,
can, a multi-million dollar lottery. Is.
I would say five times.
I would say it's like 100 times more likely.
It's 20.
Holy
close
shit.
Enough.
Oh, so divide it. We're there.
There you go.
What do you think the likelihood of being murdered is versus
very high?
Wait a minute. Compared to someone.
Compared to the regular.
That's life? Way higher. That's like 50 times higher.
I would say that's about 20% chance.
Also 20 times
ooh,
higher.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said 20%, I meant 20 times.
Also.
Just kidding.
What do you think the likelihood of being kidnapped is?
About 10 times higher.
It's exactly right.
Yeah.
10 times higher. So, basically, if you're an idiot and you win the lottery, you're still going to be an idiot.
Who won the lottery.
Who didn't build
did
the
you?
And if you're not extremely careful about how you do it, there are loads of predators out there in the world waiting.
Like I said, man, Chino Hills.
To tear you apart.
Yeah, and Robin doesn't mean... He actually means, like, the Predator from,
yeah.
like, the movie.
Yeah,
like,
pretty much.
I mean, no joke. You don't
like,
think, like...
Season infrared.
Yeah. You don't think, like, Mexican drug dealers want that money? You don't
no,
think,
Tim,
like...
Predators.
Predators.
Like, the Predator.
You mean Predator? You mean, like...
Plural.
You mean, like, Carl Weathers and
no,
Schwarzenegger and Jesse Ventura?
I mean, the things that skin them alive.
Oh, that dude. Yeah. But
yeah.
they're not in Central America, so that doesn't count.
They're everywhere.
It will skin you alive, but in a social sense. You're also 50 times more likely to be the defendant in a civil suit.
Basically.
Lottery lawsuits have been won based on drunken scribbles written on bar napkins. $1 million settlements won based on bar napkin scribbles with illegible letters.
As it should be.
And people's claims.
So, I got this. This is the deal.
Number one thing.
Here's the deal, Robin. I'm right on this napkin. I'm whatever you want. Just
awesome.
Sweet.
Say it. I'm
give it to
right.
me, baby.
This is your offer on this drunk bar napkin.
You don't have 60 infinity dollars. That's
so the first thing you do, the first and only thing, if you do nothing else.
Buy guns.
Nope.
Nope. Sorry.
Buy Luxembourg.
Come on, guess what? Guess what it is? What's the first
get
thing?
Get a lawyer.
You do?
Get a lawyer.
No, that's the second thing you do.
Call an investment agent.
Get your dick sucked.
You tell absolutely no one, not a soul.
Okay.
Right.
Not a single goddamn soul.
Which is why you wonder how long it's going to take for this person to actually have the ticket claimed.
You should wait
right?
as long as humanly possible.
I mean, this is, it's the truth.
Tell
like,
she's like, Pete, where are you going? Pete,
so the rules of
Pete.
Any lottery mean that you have to turn in the ticket where it's purchased.
Because
no, you don't.
Oh, you don't. You don't
you
have to do
it
for this.
You have to turn it in at your state lottery representative.
Can't you mail it in? Can't you?
No.
You can. Yes.
But would you really want to put $600 million
so,
in the mail?
The first thing you do is not tell a soul, not your wife, not anyone, literally not anyone. And then you go and you find an estate lawyer, a trust lawyer, someone, a large firm that knows no one that you know. So you go to the biggest city you can find and you get a trust lawyer. And you allow them to set up a trust for you. There's a chance that they can set up an anonymous one, but who knows? It may not actually be possible. So you may actually have to reveal your identity, but those are the first things you do to do this properly. And you pay that trust attorney whatever it takes to set this up properly and claim the money for you.
Right.
That's the most important thing.
Because whatever you pay them, if you invest it properly, you're going to make that money back. Doesn't matter.
If you were to invest the $600 million in a low-interest municipal bond, so we're talking like 3, 4%.
How much money are you making a year, boy?
Like $1.4 million.
Yeah.
Per year. So if you can manage to live off of one,
that's straight cash. That's like,
and if you reinvest that, you'll be a billionaire in like 15 years.
Yeah.
Then you can buy the open Raiders.
Yeah. Sweet.
So
all right. So maybe want to turn 50,
and then move them to Germany.
By the way, one Powerball.
So and then with the trust attorneys, you have to discuss all kinds of things, like you how much you're giving to charity, whether you're going to give money to family.
Yes.
You know, these sorts of things, it will alter your life endlessly.
Right.
But the number one thing is protecting yourself and your identity through the process, and then try not to be a numbskull afterwards.
Well, this is the thing, though, and you talked about dumbasses winning the lottery. Majority of lottery tickets are bought in low-income rural areas, mm-hmm. where, quote-unquote, the dumbasses are more densely populated. And I hate to like bring that up, but that's like if you're looking at stats, you know, that's something that is brought up. And so you don't have far less education when it comes to this type of stuff. You don't know about trust attorneys. You don't know about the way you're supposed to invest the money, stuff like that.
But you might go running in the street waving it.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, dude's gonna go like cash the check or some bullshit like that. And it's the truth. It's like, you know, there are places where, you know, you hear about these winners and they don't know what the fuck they're doing. Like you said, a third of these people going to bankruptcy because they don't know what to do with their money.
I'm dead.
One of the tickets that had five of the numbers was sold in Cloverdale. So an hour north of us.
Enjoy that $20.
Yeah.
Cloverdale.
Well, it's like five numbers, I think, without Powerball, it's like a couple $100. It's not.
So there have been.
Or 25. No, it's a few thousand bucks. It's a few thousand bucks. Yeah.
Chances are, if you're an idiot when you bought the Powerball ticket, you're still going to be an idiot after.
Yeah, you don't get smarter for winning
Powerball. And that's where the lottery odds come from. You know, you're talking to most people that are secure in their life are not buying lottery tickets very often.
Right.
I bought a lottery ticket today, a Powerball ticket.
I tried to, but I was turned away because it was too late.
But normally, the last time I bought a lottery ticket was because I found money. That's my typical
policy. Yeah, like I had $3 cash when I went to go get lunch yesterday at Broadway Market, or last week at Broadway Market. It's like, oh, I'll buy a Powerball ticket. And that's basically what it came down to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So quick, I'll go one last thing, because I feel like with Pete's doom and gloom about the Powerball that we should read some doom and gloom stories. I have a couple that we should read. So, William Post won $16.2 million in Pennsylvania in 1998. His brother hired a contract killer to murder him and his sixth wife.
Wow.
His landlord, was sued for a portion of the jackpot, convicted of assault for firing a gun on a debt collector, declared bankruptcy, and died in 2006.
America.
That's right there. Right there. Evelyn Adams, $5.4 million, won twice in 85 and 86. As of 2001, poor and living in a trailer, gave away and gambled most of her fortune. This goes on and on.
Stay hot.
The
America.
The lottery graveyard is immense.
So goodness.
Figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
There's one particular fellow who was a very wealthy businessman named Whitaker.
Jack Whitaker? Hey, let me tell you a little bit about Mr. Jack Whitaker.
Oh, Jack Whitaker has an epic story.
Jack Whitaker was already a millionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Already a millionaire when he won $315 million in West Virginia.
Because he gained the system. He bought a bunch of tickets.
In 2002.
Right.
Right. So not even, that's like a blink of an eye.
Right.
In and the past.
That's less than 1% of what he is.
He was 55 years old, construction company president.
Hey, Robin.
Some good.
How you doing?
I would have done it better. Has
your name been changed to protect the innocent?
Yes. Listen, I might have won already. You guys just don't fucking know it.
Right. I hope that's how it is.
I hope so, too.
I didn't. I'm still just ready.
We all lost.
Claim that he went broke.
Technically, Jack Whitaker. I lost $4, which I could have bought a couple of beers.
Right. Sad face. Isn't that funny when you like lose the money? You're like, what could I have done?
What could I have done with $2?
And you start reeling. You're like, well.
$2. That one got me four tacos at Jack in the Box.
That's one way to look at it.
That I could have gotten $2 beers on Dollar Beer Night somewhere.
$2 beers for $4?
No, $2.
I was thinking like one 16-ounce Sierra Nevada torpedo.
For that.
one really, really terrible teethy blowjob from a hooker.
That's a...
Or two.
Or two.
Listen, where did you get that?
Yeah, after the podcast, let's talk.
Let's talk about
this. Let's talk after this.
The last teethy BJ I got was at least $7. So
seven?
Yeah.
Gotta go. I'll tell you where I got it. Yeah. Cloverdale.
Weird.
Chino Hills. Claimed that he went broke about 4 years later, which is crazy. He was already a millionaire, had this really good high-paying job.
That's America.
Broke.
I want
4 years later and lost a daughter and a granddaughter to drug overdoses.
Stay hot!
Which he blamed on the curse of the Powerball win. Then I quote, "My granddaughter is dead because of the money," he told ABC, or it's because of drugs, either way. "You know, my wife had said she wished that she had torn the ticket up. Well, I wish we had torn the ticket up too." Whitaker was also robbed of $545,000 sitting in his car. Who wants to guess where he was when this money was stolen?
Okay.
Tim, I'll give you three guesses where he was.
Strip club?
Yeah.
Sitting in his car while he was at a strip club. Right. 8 months after winning the lottery.
So my favorite part is like, so
Ballers on HBO had a great episode where dudes are literally bringing shoeboxes full of money into the strip club. They bring $20,000 in a shoebox to just throw at the strip club.
Sure.
Because of money.
Mm-hmm. "I just don't like Jack Whitaker. I don't like the hard heart I've got," he said. "I don't like what I've become." That's him talking about himself, obviously.
Mm-hmm. He also got into a beef with the local police. And on his five new cars, each and every single one of them, he got a fix-it ticket for broken taillights. These are all like brand new luxury cars that he got.
Right.
So he actually filed a harassment suit and lost and ended up paying the legal fees for the state for it. But essentially what the insinuation was that local police were pulling him over and harassing him, breaking his taillights, writing him a ticket, and possibly extorting cash.
Yeah. "What's wrong with your brake light, boy?" He's like, "Nothing."
As he drove to the strip club with cash.
Yeah, I literally just bought this from the lot down the street like 5 minutes ago.
So basically the local police knew that Whitaker was on his way to the strip club. Probably had cash.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just, like we said before, if you were an idiot when you bought the ticket...
Yeah, you're going to be an idiot after.
You're probably still an idiot.
Which is crazy because he was the president of an obviously successful construction company. And it's just like, dude, you were a millionaire.
There's a difference between business smarts and street smarts, Peter.
It's crazy. Abraham Shakespeare...
The fuck? What? You tell me Lincoln and William Shakespeare got together and had a baby?
My thoughts exactly.
My goodness.
Get this. This has to do with one of Robin's stats. Was murdered in 2009 after he won $30 million in the Lotto jackpot. He was 47 years old. Guess where this man resided. Guess where he lived.
Chino Hills.
Close.
Compton?
Okay, no. I was just...
No!
Guess where he lived.
Alabama.
Florida.
Okay, well, Florida.
He was shot twice in the chest
because
and buried under a slab of concrete in a backyard. D.D. Moore, who authorities say befriended him after his lotto win, the Predators, was found guilty of first-degree murder in 2012. His brother, Robert Brown, told the BBC that Shakespeare always said he regretted winning the lottery. "I'd have been better off broke. He said that to me all the time."
It's probably true.
Stay hot. Be smart, folks. Win that lottery. Get that estate lawyer.
So I have one thought that I wrote in my essay 10 years ago in a business class, which was that if you were ever to win a large sum like this, there are situations where you could probably come out on top. Especially in this case, what if you put that ticket up for auction?
Ooh.
Interesting.
Because You can create a blind trust in this case. The crux of the situation with the lottery is that they want a public figure. They want to say, hey,
this is you.
Tim Livingston won the lottery.
He didn't really win the lottery.
And they're not going to give up on it.
I'm sorry.
But if you auction that lottery ticket off and say Mark Cuban decided that he wanted to make $30 million
right.
in a hurry, you could create a trust that would make you nearly completely anonymous. Like someone would have to
do something illegal.
In the system.
I think
there are ways to do this without being anonymous, but it can't happen with dumb people.
Snapchat.
You can't be dumb
and
win the lottery.
And I don't think in a situation like this with the biggest jackpot ever, that's possible. No, I think that
it's not.
Should do everything they can to try and protect who they are. Otherwise, they're doomed. They're a celebrity forever. They're in the history books until the next one.
Yeah. And what's terrible about it is that, you know, you don't know if they're prepared. Anytime, remember the whole point about not telling anybody, you tell one person that you've won it, right? And they aren't someone that abiding law can, you know, deal with your money in the right way. You have opened so many more doors than you think you have. That's
why you tell no one and you put it in a safe deposit box in a bank.
Right. Let me tell you about one guy.
His name Juan.
His name is Richard Lustig, who's one of the rare exceptions.
Right.
65-year-old Florida man.
Florida.
A 7-time lottery game grand prize winner.
He was on Fox News spouting off earlier today.
I've been rich and I've been poor, and I like rich a whole lot better.
Bet you
we
do, Florida man. We live
in big fancy houses. I drive a Jaguar. Weird.
Why would that be your
choice? All white people love Jaguars.
I guess.
All white people love Jaguars.
I was going to say, if you want an undependable...
Like, is he from West Palm Beach? Tell me that dude's from West Palm Beach.
He could be, but it's...
I guarantee you.
Like the Range Rovers, Land Rovers.
Like, they love those
horrible European cars. All I ever hear about is
European
people take those,
man. They really do.
The former professional drummer, that's awesome, who banked his largest payout of $842,000 playing Mega Money, has kept most of his earnings, and wrote the book, Learn How to Increase Your Chances of Winning the Lottery. It's what, like buy more tickets?
Buy more tickets.
Done. One chat, one sentence.
Book sold.
The end. In 2010, after his latest lotto win of $90,000. Book has been flying off the shelves. It's been insanity. We've sold thousands of dollars because of all the publicity, he said. We wait for these kinds of moments when jackpots get really high. When it happens, boom.
So he gamed the system.
He said that the key to staying happy is to hire a good financial planner and a good accountant after paying off all debts. He says, I'm smarter than that, he said. People, they just don't think. You have to secure your future. The reason why you hear those horror stories about people who win huge amounts of money, they're filing bankruptcy, is because it's usually from people who have never had that kind of money before in their lives.
Well, likely that no one has had that kind of money before.
Yeah, man.
Prior.
It
doesn't mean that you shouldn't know what to do with it. But if you think you can handle something like
in
that by yourself.
In an unrelated story, there's been an explosion in Jakarta. Maybe there's a lot of celebration over the victory.
I think so. Maybe we'll start a company and all we'll be financial planners.
All trust.
And we only cater to...
Super rich. That's right.
That's what we do. We
call it. Not
to
in
set
my,
you up
not,
with a trust.
Not in my eye trust fund.
Does anybody here have a Juris Doctorate?
No.
I'm working on that.
Do not.
Yeah.
Not even close.
So
give me 10 years.
I'm getting my master's,
so
and after that, I'll work on that.
Oh God.
But the Powerball, man.
Shouts to Powerball. Shouts to Chino Hills. Shouts to Sublime. Shouts to Chino State. Federal, whatever penitentiary.
Tim's favorite place.
Shouts to way east of LA. Shouts to Diamond Bar. Shouts to Little Tokyo Shabu Shabu, which is close to Chino Hills.
Hopefully, whoever won has half a brain and holds on to that ticket, hires the right people, and waits as long as possible to cash it in.
It'll be interesting. We'll probably find out who it is, like, tomorrow.
Yeah. Or there's going to be a riot in Chino Hills tonight.
Yeah, somebody's already come forward, obviously, because we know somebody won.
Well, no. That's the computer system. So the printouts for every purchase tickets get sent back to the state lottery, and they confirm the numbers.
Mm. Yeah. So they know where it was sold.
April 26, 1992.
Shall we touch on entertainment very quickly?
I'll touch on my entertainment very quickly.
What?
None.
Oh, the double G's.
Them GG's.
Way bigger than
you watched it.
Way bigger than Apple.
I did.
Shouts.
You did?
I did.
Really, really enjoyed Mel Gibson.
And Ricky Gervais.
Drunk as fuck.
And Ricky.
Yeah.
There's a part of you that's like, oh, that was kind of set up a little bit. And then you're like, there's a part of you that's like,
they really fucking hate each other. Yeah. Like, really hard. Yeah. Like, super hard. Like, they hate each other.
Like, I wanted Mel Gibson to punch Ricky Gervais.
It.
Just to confirm some biases I might have.
What? You don't like Ricky Gervais?
No. I think Ricky Gervais is fine. I just think he's an instigator, and he gets the dumb people riled up, which is my favorite
thing. That's what he does. Yeah.
Oh, he was perfect.
He was great.
Mel Gibson is a world-class bigot.
Oh, yeah. We know. If there was Olympics for bigotry, he'd be handing out gold medals.
Totally.
You know?
And I just love that Ricky Gervais...
He'd host it at his house.
With doing that. Like, just calling him out, and then Mel Gibson tries to take the high road, but...
He doesn't really do
a good job of that.
No, he doesn't.
He thought he was doing a good job of it. He really did. He looked like he did.
But he
was not.
Yeah. Has to practice that a little bit more.
Yeah, he really does. Maybe not being a complete asshole the rest of the time
would
help.
Big winners. The Revenant were big winners. Won Best Drama, Best Director. Leo won for Best Actor. The Martian won Best Comedy because...
Is that a comedy?
No, it's not.
I was super confused during that.
No, it's not a comedy.
It's not at all. It's not.
There are some great comedic moments. Matt Damon has some great comedic moments in it, but it's not a comedy.
That's like saying
Apollo 13 was a comedy, and it was not.
I never saw it, but I was super confused. I've heard that, but there were like three other movies in there where I'm like, those aren't comedies. Right. I saw that as definitely not a comedy. Yeah. What the fuck? And then Natasha was like, oh, well, it's comedies, and there was some other part of the category. But it just says comedy, but apparently it's a...
Yeah.
Why would you do that?
Right.
Why would you...
Because Golden Globes.
Can someone explain this?
Shouts to Sly for winning. That is one of the things. Like, if he won the Golden Globe, now everybody's thinking he actually would get the Oscar.
Well, that's the rule with everybody.
It hasn't been the rule lately, but him winning actually lends credence that it's a role that...
Ooh, Creed.
Yeah! To that. So, good on him. Ennio Morricone won for The Hateful Eight. And I saw that last night, and he damn sure should have won it, and he's probably going to win an Oscar. His score is phenomenal in that movie.
What is the difference between The Hateful Eight and the Adam Sandler...
Oh, whatever, Six?
Sinful Six?
The Hateful Eight's a way better movie.
But they sound really similar, and they are both Westerns, so...
And they both star Adam Sandler.
One's a Tarantino flick.
No, they
don't. Overtly racist movie that Adam Sandler made. Although there's hella racism in Hateful Eight too, so I don't give a fuck. Like, whatever.
But that's like, how did that happen? Like, who ganked who there?
No idea. I know that
Adam Sandler has to make a movie every 7 months.
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's I'm guessing there's some sort of like dungeon style punishment. It will come down on Adam Sandler if he does not make a shitty movie every 7 months.
Or makes a Drew Barrymore romantic comedy.
You know what?
Not going to Africa with his kids.
It's funny how... That, like, brand of humor, like, the Adam Sandler humor was really only good in that point. It's kind of like people are like, oh, man, if Chris Farley was alive today. It's like, if Chris Farley was alive today, I don't know how funny he'd be. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's also saying, like, I mean, I think that comedy evolved in a way that you can't really say that. Like, I think if Chris Farley was alive, comedy would be different, right? It's like if Tupac and Biggie were still alive. Hell yeah, hip-hop would be different.
Or they could just be old and suck.
If Biggie was still alive, Kanye wouldn't be a damn thing today.
Or he could.
Kanye would not in through Jay-Z. Might have gotten a Biggie beat, but he wouldn't be Kanye today.
I think Adam Sandler is a brilliant comedian that built a brand around himself.
Yeah.
You see in all his movies, you get similar actors, similar directors.
Yeah, he's got his Happy Madison production company.
He has built a brand, and he is pumping out movies and making a ton of money as a result of that. And it would be nice if all of them were Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, but they are not. So
do you think that Happy Gilmore...
Unfortunately, I think it's just...
Happy Gilmore's tremendous. Wedding Singer's great.
Yeah.
Wedding Singer's really underrated. Billy Wedding Madison Singer's got the Billy, got the fucking awesome Billy Idol references in it.
50 First Dates, not that bad.
No, not
bad. It's not a horrible movie, but I love Hawaii.
But Billy Madison, my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
Happy Gilmore, not far behind.
I'm still a Happy Gilmore guy over Billy Madison, but that's a debate for another time.
I'm the same way. I take Billy
Madison. That's one hell of a detour off the Golden Globes to go talk about Adam Sandler, so...
Yeah, I don't know how we got
there. Shout out to Denzel.
Yeah.
John Hamm won Best Actor.
Oh, yeah, John Hamm got his Mad Men.
Drama.
I think he'll get the Emmy, too. I mean, I think this is like, you know, now that, you know, Cranston ain't there, it's like you might as well give Hamm the big gun. So, there was a couple shows that... the Hollywood Foreign Press really liked this year. That was kind of like, man, whoever won all those comedies, it was kind of like a Shakespearean thing. I don't fucking know.
I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
Literally, it was news to me.
No idea.
Lady Gaga won.
Yeah, Lady Gaga won for American Horror Story, which is like,
Lady Gaga has a weird face.
It's a pandering award. It was pandering. I know that everybody... loves Gaga, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm totally stoked to be in this. It's almost Cher-ish. It's like Cher winning for Moonstruck or whatever the fuck that is.
Empire had a win.
Oh, yeah, Cookie won. Shouts to Cookie.
Yeah, it was a very interesting, the shows that you kind of would expect to be there, they had some presence, but there was also a lot of kind of surprise. Like, I was surprised to see, like, stuff like Empire and... Put your phone on silence, please, sir.
I'm making a call now. Shit.
Very disrespectful. But all in all...
Yeah. Yeah, it's fine.
We'll see what happens with the Oscars.
Oscars are in a month.
Yep.
Warriors lost tonight.
They did.
By 2 on the road in Denver without Draymond. Three Warriors losses this year. Without Steph, without Draymond, back end of a back-to-back off a double overtime game. So, I mean, if those are your three losses, you're doing pretty damn good. The Spurs have also played a bunch of home games, and so that's a lot of the reason why they have the record they do.
We'll see what happens with them. They won't keep pace come the second half of the season.
Well, they're on pace right now. They're still on pace for 74 wins.
The Spurs won't be in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
They'll rest guys down the stretch. They'll get a 2 or 3 seed. And they'll do their usual Spurs thing. But they won't keep pace with the Warriors. I don't think they want to. Their biggest thing is they want to work in the bench, get the bench primed and ready to go for their rotation.
Which the Warriors already do, yeah.
Well, the Warriors have had that set since last year. Their benches is fine. But the Warriors are actually now, with the loss, they fell back even with the Bulls in their historic season.
Sure.
Both have the same record.
Yeah. It's fine. I think it would just be cool. 72 wins would be phenomenal. I think they can get to 73. The West is not as great as people think it is. The East is actually much improved this year, and so there's a little bit more balance. You got some under 500 teams in the West that are competing for playoff spots.
It's tough.
You know, Draymond tweaked his ankle. They were going to high altitudes on the road. They didn't want to test anything. They didn't want to, you know, make anything bad. Steph had to go off. Clay had to go off, and they still didn't win, you know. And it really shows you how important those two guys are, right? It's like people talk about, you know, Steph really the MVP. It's like, well, when he wasn't on that team was not that great. Yeah. When Draymond's not that guy that Steph can go to, they're a completely different team.
Well, yeah. Don't you think Draymond is plus two?
Well, bit.
Plus three.
Right.
So, you know, Draymond's in, they probably win this game.
Those hustle guys are very important.
But Draymond's a way more than a hustle guy now. Like, he's a fill the stat sheet guy. He's a facilitator. He's averaging 7 assists a game. He's got 8 triple doubles this year. He's a guy that has become a complete player, which is for a second round pick. He might be the greatest second round draft pick of all time, the way things are going. And that's the
end. Where's Scottie Pippen drafted?
He was in the first round, I want to say.
I don't know if he was.
Pippen was a second rounder. Then reset my
previous statement. But everybody likes to poke holes in the Warriors, right? Because they're the, you know, the top dog. It's like,
oh, he was a first rounder.
Like, those are your three losses. If you're a Warriors fan, your three losses are at the end of a 7-game roadie, 8-game roadie, on the back end of a back to back after a double overtime win. It's a loss on the road against a good Dallas Mavericks team without Steph Curry. And it's on the road at high altitude without Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Against Denver. Those are your three losses. Right? The Spurs are good, but they've been playing a bunch of games at home. They have the rodeo trip coming up in a couple of weeks, which everybody kind of looks for to see if the Spurs turn it on after that. But it's like, as good as Popovich is, like, does he have the horses to stay with the Warriors for a 7-game series?
That's a big question.
Draymond's going to be all over LaMarcus Aldridge. Does LaMarcus Aldridge prepare for Draymond Green to be draped over him for 200 minutes in a 7-game series? Because that's going to happen.
Well, you could say that.
Do you want Tony Parker guarding Steph Curry? Patty Mills guarding Steph Curry?
I don't think that either of them would guard Steph
Curry. Kawhi Leonard's going to guard Steph Curry, so you're going to let Klay Thompson have whatever spot of three he wants.
Yes, I think that's what they'll do.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That's exactly what they'll do.
That's insane.
That's what they have to do.
Well, Klay Thompson,
what else can they do? Klay can't.
You always say, sorry to interrupt, but you always say you want your best defender on.
Well, sure.
So but you would want
the idea with Steph is to double team and get the ball out of his hand.
Well, I think the Spurs are smart enough that they don't want to double team and give somebody an uncontested.
They'll give up the Harrison Barnes / Brandon Rush three more than.
I think the Spurs would rather put Kawhi on Curry and try and guard the Warriors straight up.
Yes, yeah, I do too.
Klay Thompson's going to burn whoever they have. Yeah,
that's possible, but I think they'll be okay with that.
Yeah, you got to pick your poison with them.
Yeah, but if Klay Thompson starts going off and the Warriors start running all their Klay plays,
sure, that's always a possibility.
Then what are the Spurs going to do?
Are they going to stop Klay with a double team? No,
they're going to have to do something because Klay could easily go for 30-35 on that. The Spurs, if they put Kawhi Leonard on Steph, they don't have another guy on the outside who can stay with Klay Thompson through screens with his quick release.
Well, then, if you put Kawhi on Thompson, who guards Steph Curry?
You do the double team and you play 4-on-3.
Who do you leave open?
You leave the corner three open. With Harrison Barnes or Brandon Rush.
Which is now like a chip shot in the NBA.
Yeah, but at the same time, you're letting the fourth best offensive player. Because you don't want to put, you know, like, Bogut on Tim Duncan. Bogut, I think, would take Tim Duncan at this point, right? So you don't, and Bogut's going to play off the high post to make Tim Duncan come out. So it's like the Warriors are well prepared for whatever the Spurs are going to play. I know everybody's talking about the Spurs being, you know, the Warriors' kryptonite, and if they played them in the playoffs last year, what would have happened? But the Warriors right now are 10 deep. They might be 11 deep, how much you like Ian Clark. And, you know, they're a team right now that The only way that they lose is in those three situations. First best player, gone. Second best player, gone. Or really long back-to-back on the road after a double overtime game.
If I was a defensive coach and I had to choose between Steph and Klay, Klay has shown more of an ability. Like, if you use the metaphor of who's going to blink first, Klay blinks first more often than not. He's had more bad games than Steph. And if you had to put the burden of the offensive load,
Klay has played
way better. If you had to put the burden of the offensive load onto one player, I would say fire away, Klay.
And let me, maybe I misunderstood you, but Pete and I are talking about putting Kawhi on Steph.
Sure. No.
You're talking about double teaming Steph and putting Kawhi on Klay?
Right. So then you're asking Draymond Green and Harrison Barnes to beat you.
Okay. You're also putting a lot of stress on an older team if you're saying we're going to play.
Duncan is going to stick on whoever's in the post, which would be Bogut or Azeeley. And then you're going to put Ginobili on whoever your corner three guy is. So that's either Rush or your Harrison Barnes.
So
right?
You're going to rely on Tony Parker and who to guard Steph?
That's so they're going to give it to Green, or they're going to give it to whoever they decide to. They got that big dude, that 7'3" dude.
Steph,
the Giants.
Toast.
No, Steph's good. That's the thing. Steph is good enough to toast that stuff.
I think Kawhi Leonard is a more effective defender than a double team.
I agree.
I'm telling you, man, you're going to ask all those guys to go through all those screens and stay with Klay Thompson for seven games
because
he's been playing so much better these last couple
because
of
weeks. At that point, you can throw little nuances in there.
Plus, the first thing the Warriors do in that situation is they will start using Bogut and Draymond Green as the pseudo points.
I was about to say, so the counter to that, and that's a great point.
What you'll essentially just eliminate that because you'll have two players on there, and then all of a sudden, you know, you'll get uncontested layups, you'll get, you know, corner threes open, things like. I would rather try and if I was a coach, which I'm not. But I would rather try and play the Warriors straight up and put Kawhi, best defender, who we know can give Steph fits, and shut down the Warriors' best player as best they can and just hope that the rest of the team...
Shut down, as in he'll probably still score.
That being said,
possibly,
that death lineup back, folks.
Yeah.
Best five man in the league is back, folks. So it's like, that's where the Warriors have the advantage. Like, if they feel like they need a burst, they'll go Iggy, Barnes, Draymond, Klay, Step, and be like, okay, stop that. Right?
Yeah,
and they'll go down to the post and they'll give Duncan or Aldridge, you know, whatever. But that's where they get you. And there's nobody in the league. Like, Cleveland's the closest. Cleveland is the closest because they have a lot of long wings. They have Shumpert. They have J.R. Smith. They have that bullshit little Australian in Dellavedova. Mm-hmm. But in the West, the Clippers don't have it. The Thunder don't have it. The Thunder have to have a big. They can put Ibaka at the five with Draymond, but you're not going to have the wings to stick with that lineup. And the Spurs, their five man that they can throw out there includes Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, who, they're complete liabilities on defense.
Without a doubt.
So that's the difference here. Is you have to get that to a point where you're winning every other aspect of the game and you're surviving when the small ball death lineup is out on the floor. And I don't think that any team has that right now.
No.
I would agree with that. Quick segue. Back to remember Mark Jackson 2 weeks ago making his comment about Steph Curry hurting the game.
Oh, yes. Jesus.
So there was a video that popped up the other day of a young kid, like a 10-year-old kid, imitating a Steph Curry dribble and layup that I think is the perfect example of why Mark Jackson should have just, like, crammed it.
Like, I think that people who give Mark Jackson Inc. or Jason Whitlock Inc. or Colin Cowherd Inc. or fucking the bullshit Stephen A. Smith spews and all those guys. You give them any type of ink or any type of...
Well, they have it, though. Like, how can we not? He's a TNT broadcaster.
I don't understand
ESPN,
it.
ESPN, sorry.
Did you see the screenshot from Whitlock on Coward's show today?
No.
It said, was Sierra wearing a dress with too much cleavage on it when she did the national anthem during the college football playoff? That was an actual topic discussed on that show because Jason Whitlock is horrible.
Yeah.
Who is Jason Whitlock?
He's the big black dude from Kansas City.
Whoa.
No. But he's the dude that has, you'll know when you see him. He's done PTI. He was going to do, like, an African-American-centric Grantland website that never got off the ground.
I've never seen him on PTI.
Yeah.
So, anyway, there's a little white kid,
yeah,
by the way,
that
does a really excellent job of mimicking a Steph handle, you know, dribbling left and right through the legs and then does kind of that floater layup, which... And he got up on ESPN, he got interviewed, stuff like that. But it was a perfect example of part of Steph's game that people overlook when they don't watch him play. When they say, oh, he's just a three-point shooter, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that. And kids in the gym are just going in there and jacking up threes. Well, they're also going and trying to dribble their ass off and trying to get excellent ball handling skills. And this was, a perfect example of that.
It's the only way you get better.
Yeah. So I think everyone knew that what Mark Jackson said was a little bit bogus. Maybe not everyone, but I think there are a lot of other people that view Steph Curry as just a three-point shooter. And
yeah, like people on our Slack channel.
There was a point where he was, not anymore.
I don't think, well, people still do. They really do.
Well,
that's, all the time.
It can be because he's on the West Coast, and there's a lot of the nation that does very much. What was that?
Spider.
That's not cool.
You know what's actually really interesting? There's like 50,000 spiders in the world.
God damn it!
I would think that there's spiders.
No, there's roughly 50,000 species of spiders in the world.
Oh, species of spiders. Spidey, I think spiders. There's more. I've probably killed a bunch of them.
And there's really only, like, a couple dozen that are actually poisonous.
Yes.
And there are only three in California that you actually have to worry about.
That raccoon, black widow, and... What's the third?
I have no idea.
Black widow.
The black widow isn't even really fatal.
No. I don't even think brown recluse is either.
Brown recluses are probably the worst that you could get.
Brown recluse, the reason why brown recluses are tough is because they're not like hiding like black widows are, and they're small enough where you don't notice them right away.
Exactly.
And so they can, like, over time, you're like, ugh, ugh.
I've actually known
plenty. And you get a huge necrotic wound.
Yeah, that's right. So, like, you got a giant black mark. Like stigmata in Final Fantasy.
So,
I just made that.
I don't know the third one. That's a good question. If anybody knows,
we should probably like spiders a lot more than we do.
I've been trying to. Instead of killing them, I've been trying to save them.
This stuff's getting
shit. And Chelsea's been making fun of me because I used to just like.
I hate
lose my.
They scare the shit out of me, man. Like, don't just Google crab spider and then
a crab spider.
Yeah,
scares you. That's like a garden spider.
No, dog. The desert. Like the giant ass.
That's a camel spider.
Camel spider, crab spider, whatever, son. Coconut crabs, camel spiders.
I think it's more of a. Well, scorpions are arachnids, I believe. But
right.
It's more in the family of the scorpion than a
spider. What were we talking about?
So,
we were talking about the white kids playing basketball. You know what? Here's the other thing is like.
We love you, white kids.
You could probably do a study.
Could.
No, you can't. Because nobody was tracking stats for...
White kids?
For pickup basketball.
Oh, my
but
God,
but there are
yes.
always people that do nothing but huck up threes.
Hell yeah.
Totally.
And there is no, like, there is no Steph Curry influence.
Just like there are always going to be people that just stay in the low post and just foul the shit out of people.
Yeah.
And there's always going to be people that just want to dribble the crap out of the ball and make layups.
And one.
People that never want to pass and people that only want to shoot threes. There, people come up with all kinds of crazy idolizations that they want to model their game after. I have none because I literally can't do any of those things. I can foul people.
There you go. There you go.
Cool.
The Enforcer. Robin the Enforcer.
So
I respect that. Jason Whitlock looks like Ruben Studdard.
Yep, good call.
He also thinks that people are afraid to criticize Mike Tomlin because he's black.
Because it's always that. Everybody talks about...
Why would you want to criticize Mike Tomlin?
It's like people thinking that anybody who makes a joke about Caitlyn Jenner is as automatically transphobic. Or someone making a joke about of someone who's black is automatically a racist. Or something like that. It's like, that's not how this shit works. That's never been how this shit works.
I just don't understand why...
What's really starting to bother me is how...
What the hell is you...
That video popped up. But I'm just curious... Oh, his comments came after the Bengals versus Steelers.
Yeah.
Which is something that happened in the NFL playoffs. We may as well talk about the first round of the NFL playoffs, which was the craziest... Freaking
yeah! So the first game sucked ass. Bill O'Brien, first off, Bill O'Brien deserves a lot of credit for getting that team to the playoffs.
Definitely.
How the fuck did that team make the playoffs? And it wasn't just all J.J. Watt. It was not just all J.J. Watt.
That was one of the worst playoff offenses I think we've ever seen.
It was downright horrible. I have no idea now, and I had Nuck Hopkins on my fantasy team all year long. I have no idea how Nuck Hopkins was third in the league in catches. Have no idea.
It's pretty much unfathomable.
None.
Like what we just watched. Granted, Casey, good defense.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, they weren't exactly running away with that game. The score of that game didn't really indicate how boring.
Yeah.
And 30-0 is a boring score, but that was the most boring playoff game I think I've ever watched.
I mean, now the question is, who does the Houston Texans go out and get as a quarterback next year? I think it's great that Ryan Fitzpatrick used to be the quarterback for that team, then he went to the Jets, And then he's like, what, Harvard? Nah, one of the best offenses in football,
Nah, man, they're going to sign A.J. McCarron. They're going to train for A.J. McCarron in the offseason.
Who?
Train for just as big
Alabama Filipino Jesus, and it's going to happen, man.
For who?
For A.J. McCarron.
Who's going to trade for
Alabama Jesus.
Houston.
Alabama
is going to trade for
Alabama Jesus McCarron. It's going to happen, man.
And it's not.
It could be. A.J. McCarron is the Matt Flynn of 2016.
Yeah.
So already, I'm glad that it did not put... we'll keep talking about... First off, all road teams won.
All four.
All road teams won.
All four.
Which is crazy.
Right.
Steelers win because of a
Vontaze
explosion.
Is a fucking moron.
Just the Bengals in what is the craziest 2 minutes in playoff football that I've ever... In the football period, I've never seen a professional football game. I've never seen a meltdown like that.
Yes.
In two minutes. Where it went like this. It went interception at the two-minute mark. You run the next play... To try and get a first down to kill the clock and win. Fumble. Patriots get the ball back. And Steelers get the ball back. And then it's Ben Roethlisberger comes in with the bum shoulder. Just throws screen passes and little slants. They slowly work the ball up the field. And then it's like 15-yard penalty. Yeah. Get in the field goal range.
And people are piling on Burfict and Pac-Man Jones, which is, they really made pretty, bonehead players, notoriously boneheaded players, made boneheaded plays.
And I know people are getting pissed off at Joey Porter being on the field, but hey, don't be a dumbass and let that affect you.
Yeah, totally.
Pac-Man Jones.
And no one seems to be talking about the fact that Jeremy Hill fumbled. We just mentioned it, but... Everybody else is talking about Pac-Man and Perfect, but, hang on to the ball, Jeremy Hill. Game over.
Yep.
Game over.
Hold two hands. It's like you learn that in Pop Warner.
point protect to point,
the ball.
Point to point.
Which he did, but it's the NFL. You have grown men who are very, very strong.
Like, it doesn't and matter if the ball he lost him. A yard on every carry. His only job was to not lose the ball.
Protect the ball. Worst case scenario, you don't get a first down, and the Steelers have to burn all their timeouts, right. and you punt yeah, the ball.
You
to
kick
them,
a field goal because of where they were.
And yeah, you kick a
field goal.
And they have to score a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's worst case scenario if you don't get a first down and don't turn the ball.
And then Pac-Man Jones, who just... Burfict and Jones are just...
Adam Jones, you go back to being Pac-Man now because of what just happened.
Pretty much. And he does his rant about the refs, and then he talks about how you go look at the video and Burfict didn't even hit Brown in the head. Yeah, he did. Big time. Yeah. With his shoulder. Like, that's a... That was a penalty
was
in 1950.
That's fucking like, stupid. Seriously, that is one of the stupidest things. People are like, oh, he could have stopped his fucking momentum.
Absolutely. The ball was on the ground.
Oh, yeah. You mean the part where you actually 100% legitimately turned your shoulder down so that you knew you were going to be able to hit him? It's like, no, you're pissed off that your little bullshit antic actually got caught by a ref.
Pretty much.
That's basically it. Just now, they fucked that up. Marvin Lewis has his job. Hugh Jackson is now the coach of the Browns, which is hilarious to me.
I know.
That's really funny.
Poor Hugh Jackson.
Poor Hugh Jackson.
The head coach of the Raiders and now the Browns.
Have to point this out. Hugh Jackson turned down the 49ers to go to the Browns.
It's really sad, isn't it? As Niner fans, we have to realize where we stand on the totem pole right now.
Yeah.
We are below the Browns.
Is there a high school coach available that will...
Like, Hugh Jackson would rather go deal with Johnny Manziel.
No, Johnny Manziel's getting released.
Well, yeah, but Hugh Jackson would rather go deal with that and Josh McCown and whatever else they have on that roster over there. Gary Barnage.
Oh, yeah.
37-year-old Gary Barnage.
But
then try and figure out what happens with the you know, 5-time Super Bowl champion San Francisco 49ers, their brand new stadium in Santa Clara. We are
that they can't fill anymore.
That goes 50% full. The NFC though, really good games on Sunday.
Yeah, big time.
Minnesota had a kind of a meltdown, not nearly as bad as the Bengals, but still a meltdown.
Yeah.
And then the afternoon game with Washington, unfortunately, just not having enough on offense, which is odd considering how they performed. But you brought it up, or I think you brought it up, that they had played bad defenses in that run where they put up all those points. Washington.
Yeah, I said that Kirk Cousins is a little bit of a paper quarterback.
But credit to Dom Capers for putting together an incredible defensive setup. Where after that first Kirk Cousins touchdown to begin the third quarter, there was nothing the rest of the way for Washington.
And there was something to be said about, I think defenses always play hard in the NFL, but the prep and the intensity, it's kind of like the defense in the NBA come playoff time is insanely, it's on a different level.
Capers had a really good game plan.
And
he really did.
I think Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback. I think he'll be great, but I don't think he's a top 10 guy.
No, yeah. In fantasy, he is, but maybe.
No. Mm-hmm. Next year, if they won't get the same schedule. They were a bottom part of the NFC. Mm-hmm. They're going to have a lot.
But the NFC East is shit.
Can you guys believe that Blair Walsh missed a 30-yard field goal?
Which was going to be
amazing. Laces out. Insert
twice.
Insert Ace Ventura meme here.
The first laces in.
Yeah. Laces in from like 45.
Yeah, yeah.
You can
laces in from 27. Chunk it.
Yeah, like, that's.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing almost missed the net.
Yeah, it was bad.
It really did. It almost missed the net.
Yeah. You feel bad for him, but at the same time, it's kind of like the coach said. It's like you're expected to make that.
No, and he took full blame. Good on him for saying. You know what?
And he did. He
totally
all the
did.
Questions.
He stepped up like, you know what, guys, that's me.
Yeah.
And credit his teammates for, you know, still being there for him Because it takes a real man to fucking say what he said and live up to
and
it.
And you know what the other thing is? He made all those field goals to keep him in the game.
Hell yeah, they did. That's why Steve Campbell.
If they could have scored a damn touchdown, just one.
Yeah, no,
that's true. You know? I mean, 9 points. How do you think they got 9 points? Three Blair Walsh field goals.
Not but easy field goals.
Adrian Peterson, horrible fumble. Like, that's a fucking high school fumble. That's like a D2 college fumble.
Same thing, one arm. You have to
the ball. So now that sets up Seattle versus Carolina.
What's your Super Bowl with the current setup?
We got to talk about the ultimate double guns.
We have an idea.
And what we think will happen. We all want the Chiefs and the Seahawks
without Smith in a body cast where he only can No, when he enters the field with a body cast where all I can do is extend the middle fingers out.
No, you don't both want
the cast. Both of them.
No. We want Alex Smith running out of the tunnel, just middle fingers in the air the entire time, just wearing a white, warm-up t-shirt that's just like, so glad to play in Santa Clara for the first time.
Yeah, right? Something like that.
And then to do the press conference Alex Smith is a super bright guy.
Yeah.
I would love for him to do a press conference that is just like laden with innuendo and just kind of like, oh no,
super, I'm air quote humble.
I'm humbled to be here in this Super Bowl and playing in Santa Clara for the first time. I remember hearing so much about this stadium, and I'm just so proud to be in a Super Bowl. And
he'll get the question like, what are your thoughts on being in the stadium, the team that let you go, and then you go in, and he'll be like, we're just here in the Super Bowl. It's my first Super Bowl. I'm glad to be here.
I think it's going to be Arizona, New England in the Super Bowl. I think Seattle's going to upset Carolina this week. I think Arizona's going to wipe Green Bay's ass like they did a couple weeks ago.
The exact opposite.
Really? Because you think Green Bay's going to come out and play better after Arizona literally, stop the mud hole dry in them? Because I don't see it. I don't see it.
I could. You know what's crazy? And I saw an article
I think that's how the NFL works.
The 538. They did the thing about how after the first round of the playoffs, there are now, no favorites for the Super Bowl. I believe that. Because you know what? I think that you could see the two low seeds in the NFC make it to the NFC.
Oh, yeah, you totally can see a Seattle. Yeah, without a doubt.
I'm still not 100% sold on the Packers. I think the Packers have a good matchup with the Redskins, who are a good team, but you're not facing... if they were to face anybody else, I really don't know what would have happened. But I could easily see the Seahawks beating the Panthers. Like, if somebody were to say, the Seahawks, that they beat the Panthers by three or by seven, I wouldn't be shocked. I wouldn't go like, no way! I'd be like, yeah, well, they're playing really, really good football.
I think we're going to see Cardinals and Patriots. Personally,
I think
the Cardinals are on the Kurt Warner train. I mean Carson Palmer train, and they're going to just make it there based on that offense. And that defense is amazing. They are really good.
They get the fuck after a quarterback.
They are
just four guys.
They are going to shut the Packers down. There's going to be nothing there.
Plus, I'm such a huge Calais Campbell guy that I think I'd love to see him.
Does it hurt that they don't have the Honey Badger?
It does, but the one thing that Honey Badger did is they could basically put him wherever they want on the field, and he'd blitz or take a tight end in the backfield or whatever, and it was great. And it's going to suck to lose him, but the baseline for their defense is so good, it's kind of like, go try and throw to Patrick Peterson with your best receiver. Okay, have fun.
And who's their threat with the Packers?
Right.
Who do they have to? They have to.
Yeah. Randall Cobb. Have fun Randall trying Cobb. To get away from Patrick Peterson. Oh. Yeah. Right.
Exactly. And then when it comes to facing, say the Panthers beat the Seahawks. The Panthers have Josh Norman, incredible cover corner, but the Cardinals have like five excellent wide receivers. Yeah. You can't cover all of them. You really can't.
Yeah, you have to give the edge to Arizona.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You have to look at it matchup for matchup, which is tough because...
Arizona, that's
right. Right, and that's, I think Arizona matches it better than any of the other teams. Like, their matchup with Green Bay is so in their favor, it's not even funny.
Yeah, really.
Their matchup with either Carolina... Seattle's a tough matchup.
Seattle, I think they played turtle with Seattle.
I think that's a good point, but I also think that Seattle's pass defense is the only thing that can stop their offense.
Whose offense?
Arizona's offense. That being said, if they throw David Johnson at him and he starts gashing him, that could open things up.
Well, the Arizona offense is, I think people think of them as the Arizona offense of like 5, 6, 7 years ago where they just aired it out.
Yeah.
It's a balanced offense.
It is a balanced offense.
If you look at their numbers, it's very, very, very balanced.
I think they're a 55-45 team, which is phenomenal this time there.
I think the Cardinals knew when they played Seattle in week 15 that, or I guess it was 16.
And Kurt Warner.
I think they knew that they were going to face Seattle in the playoffs and that they played a vanilla game. It's and when things didn't go right, they just shut it down, which is literally that's what they did. So I think rarely do two NFL games go exactly the same way. Like a team that gets blown out in one particular situation earlier in the season does not necessarily mean that in the playoffs going to go the same way.
It's always
different. So I think that the Cardinals knew that. They knew that they had a bye locked up, and they just closed up the game book and played it close to the chest, and they lost big time.
Yeah.
But I don't think that matters. I think that they can handle the Seahawks big time, and I don't think that the Seahawks can handle the Panthers. So I think it's a moot point.
Yeah.
That's analysis.
We're over, but that's fine. Anybody have anything to say before we head out of here?
I'm excited for baseball.
Yeah, the Giants, the NL West is going to be super fun this year.
People say that. They've been saying that for the past
year. But the Diamondbacks have like a legitimate offense. Now they have some pitching.
I'll believe it when I see it.
But the Giants on paper right now are as good as the Dodgers. Their ceiling is a bit higher than the Dodgers.
Of course
it is. If you get a Samardzija, great go, and you get Kane coming back after, you know, a full off season. So there are some good things here. And Denard Span in center is a super big upgrade if he can stay healthy. Plus you have Gregor Blanco.
Samardzija is the equivalent of them getting what's his name from the Red Sox? That used to be in San Diego.
Jake Peavy. That means he's got a way better ceiling than Peavy does. My thing is, and I had my friend Eric say, would you want Bruce Chen at 5 years and 80, or would you want Samardzija at 5 and 90? He's like, I'd want Samardzija at 5 and 90, because I know that Samardzija at his best is way better than Chen.
Yeah, he has good stuff.
Yeah.
He doesn't have blow-you-away stuff. He has good stuff.
But the thing that makes it blow-away stuff is when you can get what we're getting, you can get with Posey. Because if, you know, I have a feeling that it's tough. You can't use sabermetrics to really look into that too much. It's an assumed idea. It's what a lot of people are banking on here. But it's major. And if Samardzija slots in as a number three behind Johnny Cueto, that's nasty. That's a nasty lineup.
How much money do you think Samardzija would have lost had he decided to be an NFL player?
A lot.
About 60 million.
He'd be out of the league.
He got a $10 million contract coming out of college. He was 5 years, $10 million. He went through arbitration a couple of times.
He's
guaranteed $100 million.
He is.
He's guaranteed $115 million, I want to say, if you include his arbitration.
There's no such thing as guaranteed $115 million in the NFL.
Not at all.
You can be cut.
Dear Kaepernick, hope you enjoy being cut.
That's what we're saying. So, Colin Kaepernick, maybe you should become middle relief.
Yeah, maybe.
I would rather have a bum elbow.
Yeah, than all those concussions.
Or an arthritic shoulder or something for the rest of my life than get smashed. going over the middle for a ball in the NFL.
Yeah, we'll get closer to spring training the more we talk to Giants, but Giants fans, not just the even year. This is like, get ready, this is a good team. This is a really good team.
The hot stove popcorn, you can smell it right now. It's ready.
The only thing is that the Dodgers are lying in the weeds with that money if they want to make a move for a Justin Upton or something like that.
They are.
You know what's fun about the offseason for the 49ers, though? Third largest cap room in the NFL.
Yeah, but you know what sucks about that? Trent Baalke is determining who's going to be on this roster.
Yeah, you know, we're going to end up with Nate Clements 2.0.
Dude, yeah, man.
And we'll have a decent defense, and our offense is going to be like a moldy sponge.
You ready for that Navarro Bowman extension?
Yeah.
That's $30 million guaranteed for no reason? It's going to happen.
All right, we're out of here.
I'm interviewing with the 49ers next week to become their new head coach.
Very nice.
Woot!
Robin, thank you for joining us for... I didn't even get the chance to introduce you. I'm Peter Livingston.
I'm Juan Pablo Montoya. Spanish
national guard. We didn't actually do introductions.
We didn't. We started talking about something. Across from me, as always, my brother Tim.
My name's Jeff.
Sorry, Jeff.
That is Tim Percival Livingston.
Yeah. Tim, for about 200 of these episodes, prior to fantasy football season, did all of the intros.
My name's Jeff. Yeah. Go see Hateful Eight. It's really good.
I am Robin Boy Wonder Brown Ward.
Yes.
Two middle names.
He is our substitute brother. What is he, the fifth brother?
He's six at this point.
Six, okay. Our sixth brother. That's
six or seven.
I feel like I should be four.
No, we've got four or five.
We've had four, we've had five. You are now the six.
Listen, but right now I'm four.
Okay.
When you're a Livingston brother, you're Livingston brother for life.
Yeah. You can come to our family gatherings.
Look, when we have our reunion in 10 years.
My dad will just give you a hug. Be like, son, how you doing?
You will.
Love you, son.
Good dad right there.
You look like Tom Brady. Thank you for listening.
Homeless Tom Brady, out.
That's right. Please make sure to do all the things that Tim asked you to do at the end of this podcast. Like us on iTunes. Yep. Give us a rating.
5 stars.
Mike A.
Frog Splash.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, if you want to keep following Los Livingston Brothers, you can see us on Facebook. Just go to the Los Livingston Brothers fan page. Give us a like, leave comments, all that good stuff. And on iTunes, make sure to subscribe and also give us a nice, pretty-looking review and throw 5 stars up on us because we are like a Rob Van Dam frog splash because it's the 5-star frog splash. On top of that, if you don't use iTunes to listen to your podcast, you can also go to LosLivingstonBrothers.com, click on the radio shows tab, and you'll be able to listen to all the shows dating back to our very first show at KCY in 2011.
Man, that's a long time ago. Man, I'm old.